This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
A little Jim Croce for you. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you for joining us on this Friday morning already, May the 8th. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Will Reinhart from the Center for Growth and Opportunity about how Twitter and Facebook deal with political comments on their websites. And here's the question. Should they maintain a balance of thought or just let everybody have at it? So we're going to talk with him about it. I think you're going to find it very interesting. And Obama Justice Department officials are eating crow this morning after more documents are released on their treatment of Michael Flynn. We are going to talk with the proprietor of the only poll that Mid-America really cares about, the Barber poll, Andrew Ceresi, our master barber, all about what is going on in that Russian collusion update. And among other things, we've got a great, great top 10. Our ultimate top 10 today, the top 10 best state capitals to live in. Best state capitals to live in. So stay tuned for that. By the way, we're sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. For the best haircut in Tampa Bay, you got to go to his shop once we open up again. You got to think about it, guys. I mean, look at the way our hair is looking right now, right? We're just shaggy dogs. Shaggy dogs. And we're hoping real soon here in Tampa Bay, they're going to open up and we're all going to go running. And I'll tell you what, they are going to pack in there. So Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's in the Overcash Plaza, by the way, in Dunedin. That is just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive. Well, boy, I guess a lot of Democrats are eating some crow this morning. Things are not going their way. In particular, after all the screaming by Adam Schiff and company about this Michael Flynn guy, who, it turns out, the more you read about this thing, the more you respect Michael Flynn and how nice a guy he was and what they tried to do to him. But these documents are now are clearly showing that they knew, the Obama Justice Department officials knew, he did nothing wrong. But they wanted to catch him in something. So they held on to him. And somehow they got him to say something wrong. It had nothing to do with his honor and patriotism and working for his country. And they caught him saying something wrong, and they snared him. Well, the Justice Department yesterday moved to drop all charges against Michael Flynn. By the way, he was our national security advisor under Donald Trump when he first got into office. In a stunning development that comes after internal memos were released raising serious questions about the nature of the investigation into Flynn, away we go. So then Trump, of course, was more than happy to comment on it. He was on Fox and Friends this morning. I guess, Ed, he goes on Fox and Friends almost every morning now. They must have quite a listenership. I don't get a chance usually to listen to it. Do you ever listen to Fox and Friends? I know we have it on our monitor from time to time.
I I'm just really turned off on both sides, to tell you the truth. Okay. Just, you know, I if I do watch something, I do watch the Fox, because I believe that's the lesser of two evils, if you want to do it that way.
I know what you mean.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't believe they're all 100% accurate.
They're not. They all have agendas.
Yeah.
There's no question about it.
The other side is just a little too crazy.
Yeah. So he goes on Fox and Friends this morning. He tore into what he termed the dirty politicians behind the Russia probe. And quite frankly, I think he makes a good case about it.
And I'm sure he's going to get an apology, right?
Oh, yeah. Schiff is going to get down on his knees and beg for forgiveness.
Yeah, I was just making sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Schiff will announce a press conference where he will get down on his knees and beg for forgiveness. So don't hold your breath. But, you know, Schiff, speaking about him, I wonder where he is right now.
Okay, a little twerp.
he was right in the middle of the collusion, the Russian collusion. I think there are still some people, if you believe the Harvard poll, and I find it hard to believe, do you believe that most Americans still think Trump colluded with Russia?
I don't believe that.
I don't either. But that, believe it or not, that poll says that.
Was that the same one that Hillary was... with a landslide victory, or
probably the same group of people.
They probably got Biden ahead too, right now.
Well, you know, Biden is, according to some of these polls, is leading. But you know what? I have found, you know, it's so close. It's close, even though look. These polls tend to oversample Democrats. Most of them, I think, they oversample Democrats. And in this case, you're not going to get as high a percentage of Democrats going to the polls as you will Republicans. And that's where these polling things, I think, start to screw up. They sample too many Democrats because not as many of them will go and vote. And that's why I think the Republicans have the advantage, and you can always add to the Republican side in some of these polls. That's just my opinion.
I think for the Democrats, the only thing Biden can do is go down in the polls. Between now and November, that's a lot of time for him to come up with some weird statements again.
And speaking of that, I see that Megyn Kelly snared Tara. This is Tara Reid, the woman that claims that Biden assaulted her and did an interview. I guess I don't know when it's coming out because I don't even know. I guess Megyn Kelly will have to launch onto one of the networks.
What happened to her?
Have the interview. Megyn Kelly did an interview with Tara Reid. Did you see that?
Oh, really? Well, who's she working for now?
An exclusive. That's what I was just saying.
Oh, okay.
We were just, I know you were on the phone, but we were just saying, I wonder what network will take the program and air it. But I've seen a clip or two, and it's first time I've heard this Tara Reid talk about it.
Mm.
And she maintains she's willing to take a lie detector test if Biden will. And she wants to. She's going to keep this thing going. Now, what makes the Democrats squirm is she's a Democrat. She worked for Biden, you know.
Yeah,
she worked
for Biden. That's true.
But I think she's more of a Bernie Sanders type of Democrat now. So there could be. Let's be honest. There could be some whatever you want to call it in there besides what happened. You know, I don't know. Now, you don't know, and nobody knows, and nobody.
I don't think between now and November, Biden's going to need any help dropping in the polls. I mean, they got to do something. But by the time it gets to the nomination thing, he's not going to have enough votes to be class president, for crying out loud.
You think so?
Yeah,
you think he's going to get worse and worse?
Oh, he's going to, because now he's going to be on his own. He's going to still have to debate Trump at one point.
He's in his basement. He's doing wood carvings.
Well, something's going to happen. That they may call that fight in the first round.
Yeah. This will be interesting. I guess hopefully we'll all be up and running again. By the way, we're going to talk about a philosophy of letting everybody just go back to work. And would that make anything worse? We're going to talk about that a little bit later. I'm even going to bring it up with our master barber. But right now, we're going to take a break, and we're going to talk about Twitter and Facebook, and the politics, both inside and on the website itself. So stay tuned.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason for
all around us.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And man, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcast Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of haircutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So man, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcast Drive in Dunedin.
It's a beautiful morning.
Hi, I'm Paul Allen, and I'm the host of Good Morning Clearwater. We are found right here on the Tan Talk Network, 1340 AM and 106.1 FM, Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM. We'll concentrate on Pinellas County and focus on Clearwater and Clearwater Beach. Weather, traffic, local and national current events, sports, trivia contests, and plenty of giveaways. We want to show the world why Clearwater Beach was voted number one beach in America. Listen up every Monday through Friday, 8 AM to 10 AM to Good Morning Clearwater.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshu.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. We're delighted to have you with us here on Freedom Works. And delighted also to have Will Reinhart join us. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State University. And he specializes in telecommunications, the internet, and data policy. And he's just the kind of guy to talk about what is going on both Twitter and Facebook in regards to politics, both inside and out. He says there's very little, really, that, for instance, Twitter can do to stop people from bickering about politics. And so Will, you know, let's be honest. When people get on Twitter and Facebook and start chatting, even if the subject doesn't start out with politics, it seems like politics just gets sucked into it. And people focus on it. I mean, it's just the truth.
Yeah.
People look and are curious. I think it's kind of like a sports event. When I'm watching and reading some of that stuff, I'm kind of waiting for that bickering to start. It's like I'm waiting for the first pitch. You tell me.
No, you're exactly right. People love to get involved in it. And you know, one of the things that you find pretty consistently, especially, you know, researchers, you know, for better or worse, I follow this research pretty closely. And what they consistently say is that individuals often go online to kind of express their political opinions. They don't really go online to oftentimes to learn stuff. So, you know, and I think we should recognize that fact, that when we're looking at these conversations on Facebook and Twitter, they really are just that. They're people trying to express their deeply held political opinions. And, you know, part of it is just recognizing that there are other dissimilar people out there. And that, I think, may take a shift. But at the end of the day, it really, I don't think it's as bad as a lot of people say it is.
Okay.
So there are concerns, to be very honest.
So what do you do if you're running one of these, like Facebook or Twitter? What do you do? Somebody gets on and just starts sliming some politician. What do you do? Do you say, okay, we're going to allow you to slime them, but you can't use dirty words? Or we're going to allow you to slime them, but you can't slander them? And if you can't slander them, what is the difference between not slandering them and slandering them when you criticize? I mean, can you draw a line, or do you just say, look, everybody knows no matter what is going on, we're all adults, hopefully, or thinking straight, we know it's just somebody's opinion.
Yeah, and so the platforms have tried a whole bunch of different things, and, you know, it really kind of, there's, I guess the way to really think about this and the way that I think about it is that there's no real consistent pattern. And that is a very confusing thing to a lot of users. That, for example, you can maybe have a conversation through a, you know, through a Twitter or through Facebook, for example, but the things that you say during a conversation can't be put in an advertisement and then blasted through the platform. Mm-hmm. So those sorts of things oftentimes really, you know, to the discredit of the platforms, I don't think they do a very good job of explaining to users exactly those types of moderation practices, but this kind of stuff happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're on both the left and the right, people have constant criticisms of these platforms as being basically against their group. But we see this with a lot of media as well. And that is something that, especially when you're, at least as, you know, as a somewhat of an outsider to all this, that, you know, I think you just need to take that perspective, which is that everyone hates the platforms. And I don't think anyone is going to be particularly happy.
So you got advertising for political purposes. You got bots, which are, you know, aren't even really live people. And you got all kinds of things. But you're running a website like a Twitter or a Facebook. Do you start having to cull the field? Do you just put at the top, look, you're going to see all kinds of stuff. Some of it's probably not even real live stuff. I mean, what do you do? I mean, how is it better to throw up your hands and just say, look, we leave it to you to use your own personal discretion? What do you think?
No, I mean, so, you know, we have our own website. We're a, you know, research institution based at a university, and we've had some of our posts flagged. You know, we have events where we have people come in and, well, not so much anymore, but, you know, we have people come in and talk about, you know, a whole bunch of different topics that sometimes are controversial, you know. Some of our advertisements have also been flagged. And so what ends up happening is that we have to, you know, poke Facebook or poke Twitter and say, hey, these things probably shouldn't have been taken down. And it creates this really kind of complicated, arduous process of trying to figure out if, you know, if the thing that was taken down was done correctly. That is what, you know, I'm sure you've heard about this recent news from Facebook that they're doing this oversight board. And that's really what the oversight board is trying to look at, are these kind of takedown requests and the kind of takedown procedures. They're really only focused right now on those really edge cases and those concerning posts. But honestly, anyone that runs a website and anyone that runs any sort of media online is constantly having these issues. And I don't know there's any real clear way to really solve the problems that exist, because things are taken down that shouldn't have been taken down. And sometimes, you know, things just violate the agreements that, you know, Twitter or Facebook has with their users or advertisers. And I, you know, as a staunch believer in the property rights, I think that those companies really should be able to determine what that looks like. But at the same time, you do clearly have outside individuals who are pressuring, for good reason, the platforms to take a different tack. You know, they go online, they write articles, they, you know, will send notes to the platforms. And all of these things, I think, are part of the process of the marketplace of ideas that really are so key to, you know, to American democracy and to our kind of core ideals.
Sure. We're talking with William Reinhart. He is a senior fellow at the Center for Growth and Opportunity at Utah State University. And we're talking with, and by the way, he specializes in telecom, internet, data policy. We're talking a little bit about, you know, all of the politics involved with discussions on Facebook and Twitter and the like. And, well, you know, it seems to me you got kind of two clashing constitutional rights hitting each other here when you have a website like a Facebook or a Twitter. On the one hand, you've got the free speech thing, because they are allowing people to comment. And you know, you have a right to say what you truly believe in this country. And then on the other hand, Facebook and Twitter are private companies, so mm-hmm. therefore they can create their own rules. Can they not? They can say, look, even if you hate what they're going to use for rules, since it's their store, in a way they can set the rules, right?
Yeah, but to put a really fine point on the First Amendment freedom of speech issues, you know, typically, at least for the longest time, the First Amendment and free speech is typically only applied to government restrictions of speech. So it's much more been to the extent that, you know, government cannot stop a certain, you know, a newspaper or a communication medium from saying certain kinds of things. That really hasn't been applied as much to, now there's some obviously some very small edge cases in this, but for the most part, it hasn't really applied all that much to, say, like newspapers or even to Twitter or Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, we still, you know, in America, we do believe in this marketplace of ideas that even if we, you know, even if we might not agree with each other's ideas, we still believe that there should be a general, you know, an airing of those ideas. And that does create this tension that's constantly unresolved. And personally, I think it should remain unresolved. Mm-hmm. And you constantly do want pushback and you want people who, you know, might not necessarily agree with people who work at Facebook or you know, or Google or Twitter, and who are, you know, who are perhaps conservatives, who are pushing back against some of the belief systems that maybe exist on those platforms. You want that constant push and pull by consumers, because that really, I think, is the best way to get better policy. You're constantly putting the companies kind of, you know, in the hot seat. You're mm-hmm. constantly making them argue for why they did a certain, you know, takedown, or why is it right. that this policy exists, and that sort of thing is what I would hope to see.
Yeah, you know what I was thinking as you're saying that? This is kind of a regeneration of how the media, or even, you know, when Gutenberg invented the printing press and we actually could read copies yeah. of somebody's stuff, and then we got into the first newspapers and pamphlets and this, and going all the way back to the start of putting your thoughts down so that other people could see them and read yeah. them, right?
Oh, yeah.
Think about it.
Yeah.
So now we come up with an internet, and we come up with Facebook and Twitter, and we're regenerating the whole process of speech versus, you know, the carrier of the speech, whether it be a newspaper or Facebook. It's kind of like we're going yeah. through that whole, it's a regeneration of the struggle to allow free speech versus somebody else's right to kind of censor it. That's what I'm trying to say. What do you think?
Yeah, no, there's this constant tension within these new technologies, and that happens, you know, almost every single generation, that you have to create almost new norms about what's expected online. And, you know, we saw this, for example, with radio. Amateur radio started, you know, in the 1920s, 19-teens and 1920s. You had this, you know, this absolute explosion, and you had these pretty massive shifts that occurred, you know, quite regularly. I think that is these evolving, changing norms are going to continue to evolve and change. And in many ways, I think that you're, especially with, you know, for unfortunately, because we're now in a pandemic, but, you know, I think that people really at this point are really trying to understand, or at least try to see if the kinds of stuff that they're posting online is really, you know, should they really be posting it, you know, and that itself is, I think, a necessary part of this overall process of change and adaption to new technologies. And that's constantly changing, and it's never, I don't think personally that it is ever really going to end, because every new generation brings its new sorts of problems, its new sorts of vision to the world, and those communication mediums keep on adapting and changing with them as well.
Yeah. Should we treat these websites like we treat newspapers? Let the newspaper give you whatever it wants. You don't have to buy it. You can buy somebody else's newspaper or buy no newspaper. Go ahead.
No. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
that is a big, deep question. You know, and the newspapers in the United States are. It should be recognized that the newspapers in the United States are very unique. The newspapers are especially, at least, you know, at least part of what you're getting at is that, you know, here in the U.S., newspapers have traditionally been very reliant on advertising, which really isn't the case in other countries. There's far more subscriptions and far more kind of cost-based services in, you know, in Western Europe and like in Germany and England and Norway. And that has also allowed them, at least in some ways, to kind of weather this storm much better than American newspapers. And so that actually is something that when you look at a lot of the big players, Twitter and Facebook, when you consider what they're really involved in, which is almost all advertising, that's not exactly the most stable, long-term move, honestly. And we saw this with newspapers, that when advertising shifted away from newspapers, they're still bleeding, and they're not doing as great as they used to.
Well, that's the only thing that really keeps them going. I mean, subscribers are only a way of getting advertisers. Subscriber money is pocket change. They got to have advertisers. And how do you keep advertisers? Same thing with Twitter and Facebook. If there's a perception that Twitter and Facebook, from the advertisers, that they're not getting that many viewers, they're going to lose the advertisers. So you almost, you know, in a free market, you almost have to, you have to cater to what the advertisers believe.
Yeah, and you also have to cater to what the users want as well, because, you know, you got to keep, as you mentioned, you got to keep the users there so
that's
that
what
the
I
advertisers
mean.
Get there.
Well, the
well.
Advertisers, yeah, the advertisers are looking for the users. And they will shape their decision to fund the doggone website based on the number of users. So, I mean, it all comes down. I guess what we're trying to say is, in a free market, it still all comes down to money.
Yes, it really does. Don't you think? And in the very near future, you know, I'm a bit of an older millennial, but younger millennials are going online and aren't spending as much time on, you know, on Facebook. So they're shifting from, say, Facebook to Instagram, and even a younger generation than that is, you know, they're in completely different sources. So they're not even in Instagram. They're saying, in Fortnite or in other social medias, in Minecraft. And so those companies have also been looking to monetize, you know, Fortnite has been doing this and has been looking at monetizing and trying to get something going in that space. If that takes off, then you could see, again, another shift away from some of the big players to even smaller and newer players.
Right.
And that is just the continual shift of the market, which does benefit consumers in the long run. But I also, the one thing I would mention is that, you know, for all of the problems that we do have sometimes with the communication and the media ecosystem, there's more access to information than there really ever has been. And at least as somebody who pays attention to this closely, I find it sometimes a little much, but it really is quite an amazing world to be able to have all this information at your fingertips and be able to easily access data and easily access information in a way that I remember I couldn't do 10, 15 years ago.
That's true. Well, it's a pleasure to talk with you. We could go on forever. We could go on all day talking about this. And I hope down the road we can have you back, maybe as things hopefully get a little bit better. And, hey, you know, the other thing is we're all focusing on the internet, Facebook and Twitter, maybe more than ever since we're kind of, you know, hunkered down. But anyway, well, thank you so very much. Stay safe, and hopefully we'll talk with you down the road.
That sounds great. Thanks. Stay safe as well.
Okay. Will Reinhart, we're going to take our break when we come back. The Michael Flynn case. What's going on with all of that? We're going to talk with Andrew Ceresi, the master barber. Stay tuned.
Come on, let me show you where it's at. The name of the place is, I like it like that. Come on.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And man, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of haircutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So man, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop, just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Talking Sports and Knockout Radio is one of, if not the longest running sports radio show in Tampa Bay, and heard every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Tan Talk Radio Network. From football to MMA and pizza to travel, we talk it all. Every Wednesday from 2 to 4 p.m., we walk the walk and talk the talk. If you have a story you'd like us to cover, just go to knockoutradio.com and click the contact link and send us a suggestion. That's knockoutradio.com/talkingsports.
Are you a writer, inventor? Do you have questions about your intellectual property rights? Well, tune in every Tuesday and Thursday morning at 11 o'clock for Joy on Paper. Once a month, I will have a special guest, the writer's legal eagle, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, who can answer your questions. Protect your valuable work. Email me your questions to patsy.radio@gmail.com and then listen in every Tuesday and Thursday at 11 a.m. right here on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio Network. That's patsy.radio@gmail.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back. You know, the weather's been so great here in Tampa Bay. And we finally get to see people strolling down Clearwater Beach again. And I'm thinking, you know, it's kind of a shame. So many people are hunkered up in their houses. And I'm beginning to think, you might be healthier walking outside, even on the beach, than you would be hunkered down in your house. What do you think?
Yeah, right here, Edgewater Drive, you know where that is. And usually, like, at sunset, there's probably, I don't know, maybe a dozen cars, you know, watching the sunset. But you go, like, 2 hours before sunset, there's probably 40 or 50 cars parked in that lot. And now they're walking and back and forth. And so,
yeah.
I mean, at least the virus is making people lose weight, I guess. I don't know.
I hope you're, you know, I hope you're right. And I have a theory that it would be better for, I know, but I think it would be better for the country to open up entirely. I mean everywhere, than doing what we're doing. I'm wondering if that might in the long run be even better. So let's bring in our buddy, the Master Barber, Andrew the Master Barber. I want to talk with Andrew a couple of things. One is about opening up everything, Andrew, in the United States. And the second thing, when we get around to it, is talking about the whole Michael Flynn case. So what do you think about just opening up? I mean, I want you to go back to your barbershop, open it up. Everybody open up, even in New York. What do you think?
Well, Paul, first I want to clarify one thing with you.
Yeah.
I watch on Fox News, they have Alan Dershowitz, he's a senior fellow at Harvard.
Yep.
And the gentleman you talked with, he's the senior fellow from wherever else.
Yep.
Well, I want you to know that I'm the senior fellow at Andrew's Barbershop.
Yes, you are.
Okay.
Well, I know you're the senior fellow. I've seen the others.
Senior fellow.
Well, I want the senior fellow to open up.
There you go, buddy.
So,
I agree with you.
So another senior fellow can go and get a haircut.
You know, Paul, as far as opening this economy and opening up everything, you are 100% right. Okay, we shut down a $22 trillion economy for less than a 1% death rate of a flu.
Yeah. I am beginning to think, and here's another thing, and maybe I'm wrong, I think people now really want everything. I think they've had enough. I think we have had enough. I think we have now decided. I think most people really want to get out there. And whether you wear a mask or not, or you walk by somebody too close, I'm beginning to think that people are willing to take that risk. And I think the majority of people are willing to do it.
Paul, I agree with you 100%. Look, people have had it with everything that is going on around here. I mean, let's face the facts. The Democrats have tried anything they can do. Lose your job. Shut down a $22 trillion economy. We don't care. We want Trump gone. But let me tell you what's been going on. I told you from the beginning, Trump knows what was going on with him. This was a takedown with him. But he had to play along with it because if he didn't, it'd be political suicide.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but while this was going on, our great president, I think, was working under the table. Look what happened with General Flynn. Look at how this case is opening up with this whole coup against the President of the United States.
There's more to come, by the way, on that.
Paul, the steamroller is coming, buddy. They're all running and hiding.
Now we've got a direct link to Obama knowing about it.
Let me tell you something. How could anybody ever believe that the President of the United States didn't know what was going on? He's the one that planned it, Paul.
He certainly was involved in, if he didn't actually start the whole thing, he was a great contributor and agreeer to it.
Well, I tell you what, if I was President Trump, I'd take his passport away.
Yeah.
Okay? I would take his passport away, and I would take James Comey's, John Brennan, James Clapper, Susan Rice, Loretta Lynch, Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton.
Well, wait a second. Now, you're not thinking about it straight. You just think, listen, what you do with Obama is you say, look, there's only one place you can go with your passport, and that's to China.
That'd be beautiful. That'd be beautiful.
Maybe he can do that.
Unbelievable. They put him to work in the chicken factory. Okay, plucking feathers.
He could be in the wet market. Let me tell you something. We better stop. Strip
them down naked and send them to Wuhan.
All right, now listen, we're going to stop. We're going to. But what about Adam Schiff? Where's Adam Schiff? I think he's.
Adam Schiff is hiding, buddy. He's hiding because let me tell you something. His squirmy little eyes are about to pop out of his head. I'm telling you,
it's too late for that. Andrew,
well, they were halfway in his head. They're popping out now, like that little thing that the spring with the eyeballs.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what's
going to
be
happening. We're getting mean here. Go ahead.
Okay. But, Paul, let me tell you something.
Okay.
They are going down. This whole case breaking with General Flynn, okay, is putting the cake mix together because the cake is getting ready to bake.
Yeah.
You're going to see all these. There's more documents coming out today, Paul.
Now, I will be curious to see what action the Trump White House can take, the Trump Justice Department can take against some of these people, the Comeys.
Once we get General Flynn all straightened out, I think Donald Trump needs to appoint him to director of the FBI.
Well, that's another guy, Christopher Wray. That guy, everybody is saying, what is he doing?
He's a scumbag, Paul. He was part of it, you know. Let me tell you something. When Trump first got elected, the guy wasn't a businessman, not a politician. That's why Comey took advantage of General Flynn. He admitted it. He says, look, there was all kinds of turmoil in the transition where I just took advantage of it. I would never done it with any other buddy.
Mm-hmm.
The guy confessed to what he did right on public television.
I think Christopher Wray's going to be out. I think what they want to do is they want to get enough info out, which they're doing, and then the spotlight will fall on Christopher Wray on why he didn't intervene sooner, knowing what he should have known.
Well, it's like I told you before many, many times, Trump is playing chess with these people. They have no clue what is going on. Look at Biden last night in Tampa. His teleprompter or televised whatever he was going to have, they couldn't even get that right, Paul.
Well, no, wait a second. I think you're being cruel. I think it worked in Biden's favor. You got to think about it this way. If everything went perfect, what would you have? You would have Joe Biden up there talking exactly like he talks. And whatever he thinks coming out of his mouth, that would have been worse.
Well, that's probably why they did what they did. They actually bleeped it out, but making it think of the technical difficulties.
There you go.
Bleep, 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 bleep. Oh, exactly. Balls are done. I can't wait till they bring in Michelle Obama. They can't bring in Hillary because Hillary's going to be going down in this whole mess.
So do you think Michelle Obama is going to be the vice presidential candidate?
I think they'd be beautiful.
No, I mean, well, it might be.
Seriously, listen.
Yeah, really.
There's a couple things going on. They're trying to postpone the primary in New York State in June.
That's true.
Okay, because they feel that if Biden gets in there and gets that, there's no getting him out of there. And that'll leave Andrew Cuomo out in the street, where he belongs.
So you say there's going to be a Democratic intervention before the primary, and they're going to get Biden out before that.
Something's got to happen here, Paul.
Okay.
Because it's got to go bust. But right now they're all running all over the place. And when these other paperwork come out today with the coup that was going on and the Russia collusion, the more paperwork comes out today, more people are going to be running, Paul.
Is it coming out today or the next several days? I guess it's going to come out in the next several days.
Little bits and pieces every day, I guess, are coming out.
Now,
just enough to let the people start hearing bits and pieces of the truth. You know what amazes me, Paul?
What?
That's how stupid people still believe. Look at Rachel Maddow. Oh, Burr, he's conspiring against our government. Flynn is guilty. This is all under the table. Come on, man.
Earlier in our program, we talked about this Harvard poll, and it just came out, that says most of the country still thinks that Trump colluded with Russia. Now, come on.
Let me tell you, how does Harvard get the credentials they get to be the college? They're a bunch of morons. The only person I've seen come out of that's got half a brain is Dershowitz.
Yeah, and in Harvard's defense, they themselves don't conduct the poll, but their name's on it. But anyway, we talked about that and the fact that they oversample Democrats. That's another thing, but that's another story. I want to ask you, though, I want to get back to Biden and his love interest, Tara Reid, because Megyn Kelly interviewed, is it Tara Reid? Am I saying her name right? interviewed her, and I guess it's going to come out soon. Megan's no longer with NBC, but it's going to come out somewhere, the interview, and you'll get to hear Tara Reid. But Tara Reid apparently says on there that not only did it occur, but she is willing to take a polygraph if Sleepy Joe will take one as well to prove what she's saying is true. I wanted to get your thought on
that. Biden is not going to do nothing, okay? He's just going to deny, deny, deny. However, if you look at Susan Beasley Ford, I don't remember the address. I don't remember when it happened. I don't remember what he looked like, but I know it was him.
Yeah.
Okay, this woman has got dates, times, everything where this happened.
And her mother backing her up.
And her mother backed her up back in 1993.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah.
The people are going to, let me tell you something. These people with their blinders on are in for a rude awakening, Paul. And I want to see the look on their faces when it happens.
Okay. And finally, I got to ask you this. Can't you open up your place so I can go in and get a haircut?
You know, Paul, if I wasn't such good friends of the governor's father,
I know.
I would have opened up a month ago.
I think you would have.
Okay, but yeah. I'm such good friends with his father that I don't want no hard feelings. We've been friends for 35 years, okay?
That's an honest answer. Yeah.
But I would have definitely opened up. You have no idea. You would have been hearing about me on the news instead of the girl in
Dallas. By the way, I got to put in a plug for Ron's father, who comes in up regularly when your place is open. He's the nicest, one of the nicest people you'll ever meet. Isn't it?
Yeah, he's around. I've known him for 35 years. He's a fantastic guy. He really is. Yeah. Down to earth as they
very
come.
Very down to earth. Absolutely.
You would never know he's the governor's father if you're walking in front of him.
Except he looks like him. Or
is true.
It really does, and you know it's him. But you're right. Down to earth is the perfect description. Just a nice down to earth guy. Andrew, it's always a pleasure. And,
Paul, it was great talking to you. And remember, from now on, you talk to me and you introduce me. This is the senior fellow.
I am changing it. I'm going to put it on my text. You're no longer the proprietor. You're the senior fellow.
There you go, buddy.
Okay.
All right. Well, you guys have a good weekend, huh?
We'll talk to you Tuesday.
All right, buddy. Bye-bye.
There he goes. The senior fellow. Good Lord. Should we call him that, do you think, Ed? Or should we call him the proprietor of the barber pole?
He suggested it.
Senior fellow. I'm writing it right down now.
I was telling him on the phone before you came on, I said, how ironic is you can walk into any pot store and buy marijuana, yet you got to meet your barber in a dark alley with unmarked bills.
You are so right. By the way, we're going to talk about that salon lady in Texas and what happened. Most people know about it, but we're going to do a little different spin on it. We're going to take our final break. So we'll come back. We'll talk about that. And also in our ultimate top 10. The top 10 best state capitals to live in.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It won't be long now till we open up again here in Florida. And men, the first place that I'm going to go is to Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. I've been to lots of haircutters over the years, and I can tell you I have never found a better one than Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. With over 50 years of experience and a staff of hair experts, Andrew's Master Barbershop is truly in a class by itself. So men, when we finally open up again, make a date for Andrew's Master Barbershop just north of State Road 580 Main Street on Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio Herd every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all.
Hey, everybody. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back for the final segment here on a Friday of Freedom Works. By the way, we are here Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, 10 to 11 a.m. Eastern Time on the great Tantalk Radio Network. And visit our website, ourfreedomworks.com. Big Ed sets up all our shows on podcast. You can listen anytime you want. Well, U.S. employers cut 20.5 million jobs last month. 20.5. Record shattering. Our unemployment rate is now 14.7%. Do I need to talk any further about allowing everybody to go back to work? Which is worse? Shutting down our country economically or having people pass away because of a virus? I'm beginning to wonder. And I'm wondering if even those numbers would get worse. I don't know that they would. I think it's very interesting. Very interesting. Anyway, the other thing about the jobless thing is that businesses now, looking for a quick return to normal, are running into a hitch. Workers on unemployment benefits are reluctant to give them up. And that's complicating things. We want to reopen. Would you honestly go back to your job if you were getting paid more when you weren't working? Of course you wouldn't. Some people would. Most wouldn't. Let's be honest. They would stay home, in my opinion, and continue to take and suck out those benefits until they stop. I never thought that was a very good idea. I never thought helicoptering all of those checks to people necessarily was a great idea either. Okay, so a Texas salon owner is now, excuse me, a Texas salon owner who defied a judge and was jailed for actually keeping her salon open has been freed from jail. And the governor and the attorney general and blah, 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 they're all on the bandwagon, of course. Saying, yeah, you know, we did this, we did that. And the judge that made that decision is probably, if they have elections, that judge will probably not be, let's say, reaffirmed as a judge. You know, it's probably an open and a shut case. The lady came on. Now she's going to, apparently, she'll end up talking to Donald Trump. You know, so it's gone way the other way. But I think it does provide kind of a sense of what people feel, and that is they want things opened up again, and they're kind of glad this lady got out of jail, and they're kind of rooting for her. And perhaps there'll be others that will follow suit and say, you know what, I don't care what the governor said at the time, we're going to open up anyway, and away we go. So we'll see. But I think there's a rebound coming. There's a rebound coming across the country. So anyway, Ed, I know you're talking to Lola, but we got to get our top 10. So you got to get on the drums. And you can talk to Lola and be on the drums at the same time as we do our top 10. These are the top 10. Whoop, I grabbed the wrong one. Oh, yeah. Top 10 best state capitals to live in. Now, Wallet Hub launched a list of the best state capitals to live in this year, ranked all 50. Wide variety of categories: affordability, education, economic well-being, and quality of life, basically, okay? So here we go. Without further ado, the 10 best state capitals to live in. Number 10, Olympia, Washington. Ed, you ever been to Olympia? You've drinking Olympia beer, though, I know that. No, you haven't even done that. Okay. Well, thanks to its mix of urban and suburban environments and a high percentage of young professionals, Olympia. Number 10. Number 9, Sacramento, California. You ever been to Sacramento, California, Ed? No? You ever been to California? No?
No.
Okay. Wow. I'm surprised.
I take that back. Yes, I was.
Lola, you've been to California.
L.A.
Lola's been to Hawaii. Lola lived in Hawaii. Lola used to be a hula dancer in Hawaii. Number 9, anyway, is Sacramento, and the reason is one of the best capitals to call home for a good quality of life, as well as great weather and access to outdoor activities. And they have, by the way, a high emphasis on health and fitness there. Number 8, Providence, Rhode Island. I wouldn't have thought Providence. Have you ever been to Rhode Island, Ed?
No.
Ed, have you ever been out of Florida?
Once.
Yeah, I know you have. Providence, Rhode Island, center of education, 7 higher learning institutions, 3rd most populated city in New England. Did you know that? 3rd most populated city in New England. Wouldn't have known it. Number 7, Nashville, Tennessee. Now, you've been to Nashville.
I've been to, Nashville, yeah.
Yeah, been. Okay, hooray. You know, it's Music City, right? Home to the to several national universities as well as its great country music environment. Number 6. Denver. I know you've been there, so I don't even ask you. Innovative dining, lively art scene, flourishing nightlife, doorstep to some of the world's best skiing and hiking. Number 5, Raleigh, North Carolina. Wonderful for families, stellar public schools, booming job market, lots of diversity. Number 4, Annapolis, Maryland. Now, bustling port city, and it's home to the U.S. Naval Academy. So apparently a very good place to be. Number 3, Austin, Texas. Now, that is an up-and-coming city, by the way. Dynamic music scene, world-class dining, thriving tech scene, great art, hotels, lots of bars and restaurants. I think I'll go myself and visit Austin, Texas. It sounds pretty good. Number 2, Ed, I've been to this one. And I've drank from the bars in this one when I was at college. Madison, Wisconsin. Now, that's home to the University of Wisconsin. Friendly population. Big emphasis on the outdoors. Gay-friendly. Plenty of parks. And the University of Wisconsin itself is there. Okay. So that brings us to number 1. I'm not even going to ask you. You probably have no idea. Or do you have one in mind that you think is the greatest and best state capital to live in? You want to even give it a guess or not?
Let's go with Let's go with Nevada. I don't know. Nevada?
Carson City, Nevada. You know, that's not a bad one. I'm not kidding. Have you been to Nevada?
Not yet.
Really? You've never gone to Las Vegas? Aren't you a gambler?
Gambling's not my thing.
Okay. Well, sports gambling, wouldn't you gamble?
No, I don't sports gamble either.
You don't? Okay. All right, Ed, roll the drum. Boston, Massachusetts is number 1. Now, they got Harvard, okay, so we know they got great learning. Educated, cosmopolitan. It's a big city, right? It's got the Red Sox, so it's got a big population. It's got a big fisherman's wharf there. It's, of course, it's reeking with history, right? So they say not only is Boston the number 1 capital city, but also happens to be one of the top tourist destinations in the country. Have you ever been to Boston, Ed?
No.
Okay, I've been to Boston, and it is something to see and visit. All right, thank you so very much for joining us. We will be back on Monday. Please stay safe, and always remember, freedom works.